Andrea, 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
The Lord is blessing me right now, oh, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, Lord, right now. I know He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. Hey, the Lord, He's blessing me right now. Oh, the Lord, right now. Oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh. Let me sing a verse right about here. The verse simply said, I would not be a sinner. I'll tell you the reason why. If my God was to come back for me, oh, I wouldn't be ready to die. Ah, He won't. And He started me on my way. Hey, the Lord is blessing me right now. Let me sing one more verse right here. The song simply said, ooh, the Lord is blessing me right now. Oh, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now. Oh, right now. Ah, hey, hey. And He started me on my way. Hey, the Lord, He is blessing me. Hey, right now. Come on, how many of you want to have some church? I tell you to get on your feet and lift your hand and say, Jesus, He's blessing me. Jesus, He's blessing me. How many of you can know that today? He's blessing me. I'm glad I don't walk like I used to walk. I'm glad I don't talk like I used to talk. Jesus, that He's blessing me. He woke me up. And He started me on my way. The Lord, He's blessing me right now. Choir, y'all don't mind, help me sing. Oh, Jesus. He's blessing me. Jesus, He's blessing me. Come Come on, church, if you know he's blessing you, why don't you lift your hands and say, Jesus, don't leave me now. Whatever you do, Lord, don't take your anointing from me. He woke me and he started me on my way. He blessed me.
Oh, come on, if you feel your blessing in the house, put those hands together. Somebody may feel like getting out in the aisle and kicking your shoes off. Just to let somebody know that God is blessing you. Come on. Come on. Thank God as we remain standing for both our youth and our adult choirs. We thank God for our musicians. So happy to have one of our newest members on the drums this morning, Brother Kwaisi. And Brother Kwaisi is military, and he said he don't want no money. He just want to play. Amen. So we're happy to have him on the drums today. God bless you. Amen. In the book of 1 John, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, as we prepare our hearts this morning to worship and administer the Lord's Supper, we reflect on the shed blood of our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So we want you to look at 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1 and verse 7, and there you will find these words. But if ye walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, there is power in the blood. Oh, if you believe that, give God some praise as you take your seats in his presence on today. Amen. You know, blood is one of those things, thank you, ushers, that folk react differently to blood, to the sight of blood. Amen. Some folk have been known to pass out at the sight of blood, even their own blood. Amen. Some folk get queasy or nauseous, a nauseous feeling in their stomach at the sight or the thought of blood. And most of y'all know when y'all go to the steakhouse and they say, how do you want it cooked? And most of us, now not me, I like it rare. I like it, amen, some blood on the plate. But most of us get our steaks well done, amen. We don't want any hint of blood, amen. And some folk just get grossed out by the sight of blood. And some folk just have little or no reaction at all. But the Bible teaches us that blood is the very life of a being. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Before Jesus ever shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary, there were many Old Testament scriptures and passages that foreshadowed the saving power of the blood. As we know, the Old Testament sacrifices required the shedding of the blood. These animal sacrifices foreshadowed the day when Christ himself would become our sacrificial lamb. The Day of Atonement, celebrated by the Jews each year, required each family to provide a sacrificial lamb, and the blood of the lamb would atone for the sins of each family member for another year. And you Bible readers remember on the night before the Israelites made their exodus out of Egypt, they sprinkled blood all around the door frames of their homes. And that night when the judgment of death came upon Egypt, death passed over the Jewish homes that were covered by the blood. And don't think that it was just a coincidence that the sea that the Israelites went across on dry ground to get to the promised land, it's not coincidental that it was called the Red Sea. Amen. It is a foreshadowing of the saving blood of Jesus the Christ. You Bible readers remember when Rahab hid the spies in Jericho, she was instructed to put a scarlet red card in her window. By having that blood red card in her window, Rahab and her family were spared from death. All of these occurrences pointed to the greatest day in history when Christ would shed his own blood for the sins of the world. But y'all, we're living in a time now where some denominations and some churches, in an attempt to become more politically correct, they have attempted to remove all of the songs from the hymn book, all of the hymns, amen, that make mention of the blood in their title or even in the verses. Can you imagine a hymn book without hymns like "There is power in the blood of the Lamb"? Can you imagine, amen, coming to church and not ever singing songs like "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins"? Can you imagine, amen, coming to church and never singing songs like "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" and "Nothing but the blood of Jesus"? Amen. But the thinking of some of these modern day church folk is that the blood, the term blood and the expression "the blood of Christ" is violent. It reminds us of violence, and we need to tone down the violence and tone down the goriness. Well, let me ask you something. If all of your blood was removed from your body, what would you become? Well, I'll tell you, you would become a corpse. Amen. And I need to suggest to you that likewise, if we remove the blood of Christ from Christianity, all that would be left of Christianity would be a lifeless corpse of a religion. The blood of Christ is the lifeblood of Christianity. And there are a few folk in the house who've walked with God long enough and you've battled with the devil long enough to discover that if you remind that dirty, low-down devil, Lucifer, about the blood of Jesus, it will put him on the run. Is there anybody in here? You've had the devil toying with you and messing with you, but all it took was you reminding the devil that the blood of Jesus, the blood, because guess what? When you remind him about the blood, you remind him of what John 3:16 says, that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting. Where are my folk who are happy to know you've got life because of the shed blood of Jesus? Well, I want to take just a few minutes, amen, to talk about why the blood of Jesus is so important to our Christian faith. First of all, amen, you need to understand, and the Bible teaches, that the blood of Jesus has cleansing power. Look again at our text here in 1 John 1:7. It says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If that's not good enough for you, jump on down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. Jesus' blood does something that no other blood can do. It cleanses us from sin. You see, your blood and my blood, it stains anything that it comes in contact with. Amen. If you get a bloody nose and wipe your nose with a handkerchief, your blood will stain that handkerchief. Do I have a witness today? If you cut your foot, amen, your blood will stain the sock that you're wearing. And that ought to tell us that our blood stains, but Jesus' blood cleanses. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. When you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins were covered with the blood of Christ through our baptism into Christ. And though our sins were as scarlet, let me speak for myself, and though my sins were as scarlet, because, see, some of y'all are a little, you know, more spiritual and a little more holy than the rest of us, and you came out of the womb holy, and you ain't never messed up. You've never come short. But there are two or three of us in here who are willing to admit that our sins were as scarlet. They were blood red, but we can come up in Pleasant Hill this morning with our shouting shoes on, with the praise on our lips, clapping our hands with joy in our hearts, because we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that when the blood of Jesus finishes washing and working on us, we will be whiter than snow. His blood, tell your neighbor, his blood has the power to cleanse us of all sin. His blood cleanses us of our most disgusting sin. His blood cleanses us of our most vile sin. His blood cleanses us of our most horrible sin. His blood cleanses us of our most often sin. What else can do that? I'm so glad you asked. Absolutely nothing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash us whiter than snow. Have you ever tried to get a tough stain out of one of your nice shirts or a lady's out of one of your nice blouses? You probably scrubbed and scrubbed and scrubbed and used every kind of stain remover, shout it out and bleach it out and all of that. You could get, you use whatever you could get your hands on, and you still couldn't get the stain out. Well, one of the biggest differences between Christianity and the other religions in the world is that the other religions teach that one can scrub away his own sins by good works. But I'm here to tell you that no amount of good works, no amount of good deeds can ever cleanse us of our sins. Only the blood of Jesus can do it. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, it'll clean you. But then there's something else the blood will do. The second thing that the blood will do is, and I want you to consider the fact that the blood of Jesus not only has cleansing power, it also has redeeming power. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. If that's not good enough for you, you can turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. In Jesus' day, they used the term redemption to describe the ransom that set a slave free. Before you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you need to understand that in a real sense, we were slaves. We were slaves to sin. We had the can't help it. Amen. And now, if you're saved and if you've been born again, you can't use that as an excuse anymore, that you just can't help yourself. Amen. 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 But before we became saved, we really couldn't help but sin. We were slaves to sin. We were powerless over sin. But guess what? Now you and I have something that we can't use that excuse anymore. We've got the indwelling presence of the Holy Ghost. Now, if you don't let the Holy Ghost have control, that's your fault. Do I have a witness today? Y'all know how sometimes we get to thinking about doing something. Amen. We have some evil desire on our mind or in our heart, and the Holy Ghost will tap us on the shoulder and say, that really ain't for you. You need to leave that alone. Amen. And y'all know how we can tune the Holy Ghost out when we want to. But is there anybody here who understands that sin has a very deceptive nature? Sin promises freedom, but it always brings slavery. Sin promises pleasure, but it always brings pain. Sin promises happiness, but it always brings sorrow. Sin promises satisfaction, but it always brings emptiness. Is there anybody here that knows that sin will take you farther than you want it to go? It will cost you more than you want it to pay, and it will keep you longer than you really want it to stay. But I've come by with some good news today. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. If you're tired of being a slave to sin, I've come by with the remedy. I've come by with the prescription. I've come by with the answer. The blood of Christ redeems us, sets us free. Woo, he that the Lord. I said, he that the Lord has set free. See, some of y'all come in here, amen, looking like you're bound. That's why you can't say amen. The devil has you bound. That's why you can't shout. That's why you can't praise. The devil has you so consumed with your sin and guilt and all of that that you can't praise right. You can't worship right. But let me tell you something. Once you know you've been set free by the blood of Jesus, you may as well march yourself on up in here and get your praise on like everybody else. Because can I tell you something? Ain't nobody up in here more holy than anybody else. Ain't nobody up in here more saved than anybody else. The same blood, I said the same blood that saved that other person on your pew, that causes them to shout, that causes them to praise, the same blood has set you free, and you ought to give God praise. Now, if you ain't feeling me yet, it's because maybe you don't understand, amen, what the blood of Jesus has redeemed you from. Well, I'm glad you're up in here because I'm going to give you one or two or three things, amen, and maybe it'll help you get your shot on, because when you understand what you've been redeemed from, you ought to have a praise breakout somewhere. The first thing the blood of Christ redeemed us from is the curse of the law. I know some of y'all still trying to live by the law. You know, you still, I don't eat that. I don't eat pork, and I don't eat fish without scales. And I don't, amen. Some of y'all, the Lord has redeemed you from the curse of the law, and you still running around bragging about how you don't eat pork and how you don't eat this and how you don't eat that, thinking that somehow makes you better than the next person. But let me tell you something. You may be a vegan. You may be a paleothic dieter, whatever, amen, the words are. You may not eat this. You may not do that, amen. But if you have not accepted the fact that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and shed his precious blood, can I burst your bubble this morning? You still going to hell.
if you don't know that Jesus and Jesus alone made it possible for you to get to heaven, you are misguided, you are misinformed, you have misinterpreted what the Bible says. I wish I could get one or two folk up in here who are godly proud of the fact that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Give him praise in this place. Not only does his blood redeem us from the curse of the law, but secondly, his blood redeems us from the guilt of our sin. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You mean I don't have to feel guilty anymore? Amen. You don't have to feel guilty anymore. Amen. Jesus paid it all for your sins, for your shortcomings. Amen. Come on up in here with the rest of us guilty folk, with the rest of us fallen short folk. Come on up in here and get your praise on. But then there's another thing that his blood redeems us from. It redeems us from the power of sin. See, when we say we're saved, there's a threefold process that takes place. We're saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. That's in the past. Amen. We're saved right now from the power of sin. Right now, sin is powerless over you if you are a blood-bought believer. But then in the future tense, amen, we will be saved from even the presence of sin. Anybody know won't be no sin in heaven? Amen. So we can thank God. We can thank God that he has redeemed us from the curse of the law. He has redeemed us from the guilt of our sins. He has redeemed us from the power of sin. So the blood of Jesus has cleansing power. The blood of Jesus has redeeming power. But then there's one more point, and I'll take my seat. The blood of Jesus has saving power. Romans chapter 5. Verses 8 and 9, it says, "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." God told Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, God told them that of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Well, we know that Adam and Eve disobeyed God and brought a death sentence upon all of us. For in Adam, we all die. But I thank God, I said, I thank God that Romans 6 and 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord." If it were not for the blood of Jesus, you and I would be on death row. But I'm so glad, I said I'm so glad that when I lay this body down, it's not over for me. Because there is saving power in the blood of Jesus. Is there anybody here? If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, you will admit that you didn't come this far because of your goodness, nor because of your righteousness, but it was nothing. I said nothing. But the blood of Jesus that washes me whiter than snow. Do you want to know why? I've got joy in my heart. Do you want to know why? I've got a song on my lips. Do you want to know why? I've got a smile on my face. It's because Jesus did for me what I could not do for myself. Ain't he all right? Won't he give you joy?